Consider all the One day I came to him. I was so thirsty. I asked for water. My throat was so dry. He gave me water that I had never dreamed of. But for this water, my Lord,
tell you what, that I was thinking about in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness and they were dying of thirst, and Moses was instructed to smite the rock, and out of that rock came water, and that rock pictures Christ. Amen. In fact, it's amazing, you know, on the cross when Jesus' side was pierced, out of his side came blood and water. Amen. I know there's difference of thoughts about that, and I don't know this to be the truth of it all, but I know one thing, you know, water satisfies people and the blood satisfies the Father. Amen. So perhaps out of that cross, the law of God was satisfied for our sins, and we are satisfied because of salvation. Amen. That's wonderful. If you have a Bible, Romans, if you would, chapter number 8. I want to thank you for today. Thank you for allowing me to be here with you. and thank the pastor and his wife for their hospitality today. And we had a wonderful day, had a little shut eye. That was a good thing. Amen. And we thank you. I thank you for just the opportunity to be here tonight. And tonight, Lord willing, we want to finish up some things. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit all day. And that's a good thing. It's a reminder. Amen. Remind us of who lives in us if we're saved. Amen. Also to remind us who's maybe knocking at our door if we're not. Amen. And so we want to continue with that theme tonight. But in Romans 8, in a moment, we're going to look at that. Let me just say, throughout the course of the day, just by a very quick reiteration, we began this morning by looking at the Holy Spirit in the Bible, and we see him as the creator of the world. Amen. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all involved in the creation of everything. Amen. We also saw the Holy Spirit not only as the creator of the world, but as the contender of the flesh. He is in this world contending against the flesh of humanity, the sinful flesh of humanity. And thank God for local churches. Amen. Thank God for local churches where the Spirit of God meets with the people of God. We're told in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that the church makes up a habitation, a temple, if you will, for God's Spirit to meet with us. And Christians have the Spirit of God in us. And we know one day we're going to be raptured. Amen. We're going to be taken out of this world. In fact, what a wonderful day that will be. Amen. In fact, I'm looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker. Amen. And when we are taken out of this world, sad to say, I believe all hell in great measure will run loose on this world. Amen. But nonetheless, the Spirit of God is contending still, working against the flesh to really restrain so much evil in this world and even in our lives. And we looked at not only the Spirit as the creator of the world and the contender of the flesh, but he's the composer of the Bible. He put the Bible together for us. Amen. And that's a wonderful thing. We have the breath of God, the Word of God for us. And as the preacher and I were talking earlier, we have every word that we need. If we don't, we're in trouble. Jesus said, man cannot live by physical bread alone, if you will, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so thank God we have what he wants us to have. And he's able to make sure we do. Amen. And we talked about that. We all talked about in the morning service that the Holy Spirit is the convictor of the sinner. He's the one that wants to work on the sinner's heart, helping them to realize that they're sinful, that they're not righteous in and of themselves. They're short of the glory of God. But also that same Holy Spirit wants to point them to Jesus Christ. He wants to lift him up and testify of him as the answer. Amen. Just like Moses was told in the wilderness that the snake-bitten Israelites were dying and their great need was to have healing, if you will. And that healing was in the serpent, the brazen serpent on the staff that was to be lifted up so people could see, look, and believe. Amen. Look and live, my brother, live. Amen. Look to Jesus now and live. And you and I, we live among snake-bitten people, sinners that are dying, and what we can do by our words is lift up Jesus and let them see him as the answer. Amen. As somebody lifted him up to us, right? And we found the answer. The Holy Spirit is the convictor of the sinner. He's also the converter of the sinner. And then, in fact, that's the reason he wants to convict us, because he wants to convert us. He wants to save us and he wants to change us. Amen. Now tonight, I want to focus on something else. We are at Romans chapter number 8. But before I look into that, I want you, if you will, please just hold your hand there. You don't have to turn. I want to just read a few verses to throw something out there tonight. Number 6, and this is our last point tonight about the Holy Spirit. He is, if you will, the comforter of the saint. The comforter of the saint. In fact, listen to these words of Jesus in John 14:16. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Another comforter. See, Jesus was the comforter for the disciples. He was, by the way, the word comforter comes from the word parakletos, which means helper. He's the one who comes alongside to encourage, to comfort, to strengthen, to help. And the Lord Jesus was the helper of the disciples, of the apostles, but he was leaving. And he told the apostles, I'm going to leave, but another comforter, one of the same kind,
is going to come and he's going to help you. He's going to be with you. In John chapter 14, also in verse 26, we mentioned it earlier, Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." That's what he does for you and I that are saved. He teaches us the word of God. Amen. John chapter number 15, again, verse number 26, Jesus said that when the Comforter, again, he mentions the Comforter, when the Comforter has come, whom I will send in my Father's name, even the Spirit of truth, and so on. And then in John 16:7, we talked this morning about this verse, but Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." Sometimes we sing that song, "The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come." Amen. The Holy Spirit of God is the Comforter sent from God to the saint to help us. And you cannot find, I think it's spelled out in the very text we're going to look at. Look at John chapter number 8, if you would. And I'm sorry, not John, Romans chapter number 8. And look with me, please, if you would, in verse number 26. But by the way, before we read verse number 26, I want you to read verse number 22 and 23. Watch this. Romans 8, 22. "For we know that the whole creation," get this, "groaneth and travaileth in pain until now." Verse number 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit," we that are saved, if you will, "even we ourselves," with us, "groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Paul the Apostle, speaking in the context of Romans chapter 8, says, listen, creation, because of sin, has been distorted. Creation is waiting for restoration. But not only is creation waiting for restoration, we that are saved, we have the Spirit of God, the down payment, we have him. And we in our bodies, we also are waiting for the redemption. Basically, we're waiting for the Lord to restore us. Paul the Apostle said that our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior who shall come and who shall change our vile bodies, that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Hey, Paul the Apostle had physical infirmities. I mean, he went through it. Obviously, thank God for Dr. Luke, the physician that hung with him and probably helped him out. Amen. By the way, for those that don't believe in doctors and medicine, hey, I believe the Lord gave Paul the physician to hang with him, because this man, he had gone through so many trials and so many storms. In fact, he told the Galatians that they at one time were willing to give him their eyes. He had some kind of situation. Perhaps he was, when he was stoned, his face was distorted and had some kind of issue. We know Paul the Apostle in his body was hurting. And Paul says not only is creation waiting for the restoration, but our bodies, when you get older, the outward man perishes, the new inward man is renewed day by day. We're hoping, and what he's talking about is the physical ailments that we go through. And we just look for and we long for the Lord to come back and change it. Amen. In the very context, I want you to see this. Look at verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also," what's the next word? "Helpeth," what? "Our infirmities." You see, until the Lord comes back and renews and restores you and I, we have to limp sometimes through this life in our infirmities. But the Spirit of God is in you and I that are saved. He's the Comforter. He's there to help us. Amen. And thank God for that. Amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Don't try to go at it alone. Let him help you. Amen. I find one of the greatest helps of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer is when he opens up the word to us. There's nothing like hearing from God in your heart a word. There are many times that our hearts are heavy. Heaviness in the heart, Proverbs says, maketh it stoop. But a good word maketh it glad. We got a lot of negativity. We got the devil. We got the world. We got the flesh. We got so much working against us to discourage us. By the way, discouragement actually takes the life out of you. Discouragement actually makes you weak. Your hands hang. Your knees kind of bend over. But good words encourage and strengthen to keep on keeping on. And the Spirit of God wants to use the Word of God to speak to our hearts words of encouragement, wonderful words of life. I cannot help but think about the Apostle Paul and think about his ministry. He was a missionary, no doubt about it. And he went from city to city, and I'll tell you, some cities were just a lot tougher than others. I mean, when he went to Sin City, not Vegas, he went to Corinth. Amen. When he went to Corinth, I believe he had a hard time. By the way, this is a nice area up here, and I know you have your issues, but come down to the concrete jungle where I live. The city of Philadelphia is a concrete jungle. And I'll be honest with you, I think where the people are concentrated, I don't doubt that the devil's concentrated very much right there. By the way, turn your TV on and watch the news, and you'll hear about what happened in Philadelphia. What happened in Philadelphia, who was shot, who would kill, all the time, amen? And there are some areas where ministering, the devil opposes it in a mighty way. Amen? You actually have to go through. Hey, listen, when Moses was sent to Egypt, which is a picture of the world, he had to go through Pharaoh to get the children out, didn't he? And I'll tell you what, Pharaoh just didn't say, well, go ahead, help yourself. Pharaoh put up a fight. Moses and Aaron had to really go through it. They really had to go through it. And God had to move in a mighty way in order to get through Pharaoh to get the children of Israel out. Amen? Paul the Apostle, when he got to Corinth, I believe it was so hard, I really think he was on the verge of quitting. He was on the verge of quitting. You say, how do you know that? Because at midnight, at a dark time, the Lord had come to him. And the Lord had spoken to him. If you ever noticed that several times we read in the Bible where the Lord met with Paul and spoke to Paul, it was always at a very time when he needed a word. It was on a ship that was about ready to crash, where he needed the Lord to get by him and to speak to him and encourage him and to strengthen him. And you recall, I believe that Paul was going to quit, and the Lord said to him, Paul, don't quit. You keep on keeping on. I have much people in this city. And I believe that the Lord encouraged him and strengthened him to keep on keeping on. You remember Paul's testimony. He said, at my first defense, nobody stood with me. All men forsook me. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me that through me the preaching might be fully known. I used to think about that text, and I used to think about the Lord standing next to Paul and just kind of giving him some kind of touch that would give him the strength to go on. But I don't think that's the case. I think it's when the Lord pulls up next to you when you're where you are and he speaks words of encouragement to your heart. Those words that you need that come through his word to give you what you need to keep on. By the way, folks, this is where you fill up. Every vehicle needs to fill up. Isn't that the truth? Every saint needs the word of God to keep on going on. Amen. And that's exactly what the Spirit of God does. He takes the word of God and speaks to our hearts. Let me ask you this question, and I'm going to answer it, I think, tonight. How does the Holy Spirit help us? How does he help us? Number one, I want you to get this, or A, however you take it. The Holy Spirit enlightens us. By the way, he's the illuminator. He's the teacher, amen? You and I cannot understand the Word of God apart from the Spirit of God. Nobody knows the mind of God like the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God shows us and tells us and teaches us the Word of God. If you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Spirit of God is the teacher of the Word of God. Do not try to read the Bible on mere intellect. You may get an outline. You may get this, that, or the other thing, but you need to read it just under the inspiration of the Spirit of God or under the leading of the Spirit of God so that he can open your eyes to see something. Amen? It's amazing how God can open your eyes, and you don't have to have a scholar, be scholar. You don't have to have a doctor's degree. Amen. You just need to have the Spirit of God. Amen. Two things we do. We go to the Bible and open it up, do our part, and then we pray for God to open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, if you would, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12. Now we have received, we that are saved, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see, by the Spirit of God, we can read the Word of God and we can learn all the things of God that belong to us. We can personalize them. That's for me. That's a word for me. Verse number 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Look at verse 14 about the natural man or the unsaved man. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Amen. You and I have the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God wants to teach us and show us the things of God. Amen. He's the illuminator. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2, you recall verse number 20, the Bible says we have an unction from the Father. And that unction is the Holy Spirit who teaches us all things. Amen. In fact, the very same chapter in 1 John 2:27 says we have an anointing. We don't need a man to teach us. We have the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. In fact, in John, 1 John, by the way, 1 John is a wonderful book that really is combating the false teachers that are saying Jesus is not God in the flesh. The whole thing. They were running around saying they had the Holy Spirit. And they were saying, they were teaching things that Jesus was not God in the flesh. In fact, in 1 John, John says, listen, if you don't believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, you can't be saved. The Holy Spirit of God has taught us the truth about Jesus Christ. Amen. In fact, in 1 John, the context of 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know the context of that is the Holy Spirit. The false teachers have a spirit, and they're going around with a false spirit saying that God didn't come in the flesh, but you have somebody in you, a greater teacher than their teacher. Their teacher is a false teacher, amen. Doctrines of devils, if you will, amen. The Holy Spirit of God, listen, enlightens us concerning God's word and God's will. Amen. You get in the book and the Spirit of God will show you his word. But I want to say this, he also teaches us his will. And listen to this verse, if you would, John chapter 8 and verse number 14. Listen to this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit wants to open our eyes to see in this book, ready? The general will of God. But the Holy Spirit of God wants to lead our hearts into the specific will of God. By way of illustration, let me say it this way. When I read the Bible as a Christian, I understand that if I'm to get married, I'm to get married to another Christian. Is that correct? Only in the Lord, right? Be not on the weekly. Generally speaking, for every single person who's looking to get married, the general will of God is don't marry the unsaved, marry a saved person. I get that by the Spirit of God. But now I need the leading of the Spirit of God to that right saved person I need to marry. You understand what I'm saying? I want him to help me to see his general will, but I also want him to lead me into his specific will. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians, chapter number 5, please. And I'll thank our sister who bought this rag for me. Amen. In Ephesians, if you would. See, the Holy Spirit's ministry to you and I that are saved is to open our eyes to see the truth of the Word of God in its context. To know His will, but then also to lead us individually and personally to His will. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to see something, if you would, please. I want you to note, look at verse number 17, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 17, if you would. The Bible says this, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's a good verse, isn't it? Hey, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I find that verse to be very unique, because look at the next verse. Be not drunk with wine. By the way, getting drunk is not going to help you to find God's will, right? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but what's it say? Be filled with the Spirit. I think there's a connection with finding God's will and being filled with the Spirit, amen? And that's what you and I need to strive to do as God's people. The Holy Spirit of God, number one, he enlightens us concerning God's word and God's will. And by the way, it's not just individual Christians that he wants to enlighten concerning his word and his will. It's churches as well. In fact, you read Revelation chapter 2 and 3. You read where the Lord Jesus spoke to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And at the end of every message to those churches was, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God wants to speak. God speaks to churches. And that's why it's important to be a part of a church.
That's right.
Because if you're a part of that church, you want to hear what God's got to say to you. Amen. Very important. Let me give you a second thought. Not only does the Holy Spirit help us by way of enlightening us concerning God's will and God's word, but number two, he also helps us in the fact that he enables us. You know, it's one thing to tell me his will. It's another thing to give me what I need to do it. Amen. And the Holy Spirit of God enables you and I that are saved to do his will. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. We talked about it earlier. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I understand that's the context of witnessing. But I'll be honest with you. We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God to do what he wants us to do. Amen. We cannot be the kind of Christians that God wants us to be in the power of the flesh. The arm of flesh will fail us. Amen. We don't have to, thank God, we don't have to muster up all the strength we possibly can to live the kind of life the Lord wants us to live. What we need more is to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be filled with his power, his strength to do what he wants us to do. Amen. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, we talked about earlier, but Romans 8:13 says, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Mortify the deeds of the body. In the context, it's you and I can put to death the sinful deeds of our body through the power of the Holy Spirit. How about Galatians 5:16? We talked about it earlier. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you'll not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. The way to overcome the flesh is by the Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God can enable us to be the kind of Christians that he wants us to be. Amen. In fact, let me just say this. Many of you know Ephesians chapter. Are you still in Ephesians? I think we're there, right? Let me just throw this at you very quickly. Ephesians 5:22. You know what it says? It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, right? Look at Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse number 4 of Ephesians 6. And fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Chapter 6, verse number 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Chapter 6, verse number 9. It says, and you masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing some. In this context, what the Lord does is he tells everybody what they need to do in their position. Wives, love your husbands. I'm sorry, submit to your husband. Husbands, love your wife. Children, obey your parents. I almost think that the Lord gave everybody one of the hardest things to do. Here's what you need to do. But I want you to notice something. Before he told everybody what they needed to do, in verse number 18 of chapter 5, we talked about it just a moment ago. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, because you and I need to be filled with the Spirit if we're going to be the kind of person we ought to be. Amen. Be it a wife, be it husband, be it child, be it father, be amen. Servant, masters, if you will. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's the key, by the way, to our fruitfulness, no doubt about it, right? Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, meekness, so on, you know that. He's the key, if you will, to our Christ-likeness. By the way, turn with me, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God so that I can be everything that God wants me to be, because I cannot do it in and of myself. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, if you would please. The Spirit of God is trying to do a work in every one of our hearts. Amen. To make us more like Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Would you look with me for a moment in verse number 16. I'm in 1 Corinthians. That's not going to help. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. I want you to look at verse number look at verse number 15. Let's just get a little context. But even unto this day, when Moses, that's the Old Testament law, is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now, context, he's speaking about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel would go to the Sabbath day reading, and as the law of Moses was read, there was a veil on their heart. They couldn't understand the word of God, right? Look at verse number 16. I'm sorry. Nevertheless, when it, and that it is a reference to the heart, when it shall turn to the Lord. By the way, that's salvation. When a Jewish person gets saved, just like anybody gets saved, they turn their heart to the Lord. Amen. And when they turn their heart to the Lord, verse number 16, the veil is taken away. When a person gets saved, they no longer have to sit under the hearing of the word of God and not understand it. When they get saved, the veil is taken away. They can see, they can understand, right? Watch this. Look at verse number 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Look at verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When a person gets saved, they turn their heart to the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God opens the heart, opens the eyes, and begins to help that person to see and understand, and begins to do a work in their hearts. You know what Paul the Apostle said to the Corinthians? He said, I don't need letters of commendation. He said, let me tell you something. You're my letter. People can look at you and know that I'm an apostle because the Spirit of God is writing something, a letter in your heart. You're an epistle written by the Spirit of God, read by everybody. When people look at you and I and we're the kind of Christians we ought to be, they can see the writing of the Holy Spirit on your life and my life. That's what the Spirit of God wants to do. Amen. That's what he wants to do. I can't get all into it, but I'll tell you this. In the book of Ephesians, there's two prayers in the book. There's a prayer in chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. And then there's a prayer in chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And in those two prayers, the first prayer, Paul prays for the Spirit of God to enlighten the eyes and to open the eyes of these Ephesians, that they might see how rich they are in Christ. But in chapter number 3, he prays for the Spirit of God to enable these believers to live the kind of life that God wanted them to live. In Ephesians 3:16, he prayed that they would be strengthened with might in the inner man by what? His Spirit. Amen. Number one, the Holy Spirit helps us by enlightening us. Number two, he helps us by enabling us. And let me give you the third thought, the third point, if you will. The Holy Spirit helps us by assuring us, by assuring us. By the way, what does he assure us about? He ensures us that we're saved. The Holy Spirit of God ensures us that we're saved. Romans 8, don't turn there. Verse number 15 and 16, if you will. You have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to our spirit. By the Spirit of God, we know we have a relation. Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. We have a personal relationship with God, but the Spirit of God assures our heart of this. Amen? By the way, that's why we got to be careful that we don't hinder him, quench him, or grieve him, because we may even doubt our salvation when we do that. We want to be filled with him so we can hear him speaking to our hearts. Amen. I want you to listen to this. He ensures us that we're saved. Galatians, I'll read it. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God. Listen, he helps us by assuring us. Number one, he assures us that we're saved. And let me give you another thought. It's the Holy Spirit who assures us that we're saved forever. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You cannot lose your salvation. And the Spirit of God, get this, not only does he assure us of that, but he is the assurance of that. And I want you to get this. We're near Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. And I'm coming down. Hang in there with me. I'm like an airplane. I'm circling the airport over here. Amen. Ephesians, if you would, chapter number 1. The Holy Spirit of God wants to help us. He wants to help us. He wants to enlighten us concerning the word and will of God. He wants to enable us concerning the will of God for our lives. And he wants to assure us that we're saved and we're saved forever. Ephesians chapter number 1. I thank God that I don't have to worry about losing my salvation. Amen. There's, by the way, folks, there's a lot of people who live on this earth who fear that. And in fact, they're being told they can lose it. Amen. But it's not true. Ephesians chapter number 1. Look with me in verse number 13 and 14. The Bible says this. It's talking about Jesus Christ. It says, in whom, it's about Jesus, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of what? Promise. Jesus said, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He's not temporary for us. He's with us until the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Spirit of God whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. He's the seal. When you talk about a seal, you talk about authority, you talk about ownership, you talk about preservation. He is the seal. Amen. In fact, he's called the earnest of our inheritance. Amen. In fact, let me read it for you. We won't turn there, but 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us in reference to the Holy Spirit and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know, an earnest is a down payment, right? When you go to look at a house and you want to buy a house, they'll say, well, you're going to have to give us some kind of earnest. Show us you're sincere about this. And you write them a check for something. Amen. You say, I mean business. Here's the earnest. Here's a down payment. I want this. In the Bible, the earnest had to do with a dowry. When a person wanted to marry somebody, they would say, I like you and I want to marry you. In fact, I'm going to give you some valuables and some jewels. Here, this is yours. Hold this. I'm going to go back to my father's house and I'm going to add on to my father's house. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to pick you up. You're mine. When we got saved, Jesus said, here's the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to give him to you. Here's a promise. Here's a down payment. I guarantee I'm going to my father's house and where there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's the down payment. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit of God if we're saved. And that's a guarantee. We're already purchased. He's just got to come pick up the purchased possession. Amen. And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Amen. Be careful of those who take scripture out of context. They'll take you to the Old Testament. They'll take you to Samson where he went out and he wished not that the Spirit had left him. They'll take you to the prayer of David after he fell with Bathsheba and had Uriah and some others killed, where he said, oh, take not your spirit from me, in Psalm 51:11. The Pentecostals are good at that. They'll take you to these verses and say, look, you can lose the Holy Spirit, and we'll have to say, no, we're dispensationalists. That was a time period in the nation of Israel where the Spirit of God would come upon an individual and then he could leave them. Doesn't mean they lose their salvation. They lose the power, if you will. But in the New Testament, in our dispensation, Holy Spirit comes. He never leaves. Amen. He never leaves. Amen. He's there whether we want him to be or not, and whether we like it or not. Amen. Let me close with this conclusion. As believers, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, we can hurt the Spirit. We can hurt the Spirit. And none of us are beyond that, folks. None of us are beyond that. You got a preacher of 15,000 people who runs off with a young lady, a minor, who's been in the Word of God, who's been preaching and all this other stuff for years and years and years. And story after story after story. You understand that? We can hurt the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30, where I said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, that's hurting the Holy Spirit. To grieve somebody is to inflict, if you will, sorrow or grief on that person. And you and I got to be very careful as Christians that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. By the way, you make enemies angry at you, but friends, you hurt. Amen? We got to be careful that we don't hurt the Holy Spirit. We also got to be careful we don't hinder the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. You know, to quench something is to extinguish it, is to put it out. You correct? I can't help. When I think about quench, I always think about fire. Do you know what fire does? By Proverbs says it's never satisfied. You know that, right? The day you get saved, you get lit up. You get lit on fire. Is that correct? The fire of God, the Spirit of God, He wants to actually consume us. Do you know what in the Old Testament it was called when something was consumed for God? It was called a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice. It was totally consumed to God. Amen? When we get saved and we get the Holy Spirit, a fire begins, and that fire is not satisfied with a little bit of our life. That fire wants to consume our life. That fire wants to take over our life and make us the kind of sacrifices that are acceptable and well-pleasing to the Lord. Amen? But there are times we as Christians, we put the fire out. We quench the fire. Sometimes we do it, I think, in the context of 1 Thessalonians. Before it says, quench not the spirit, it talks about not despising prophesying, preaching, if you will. Amen? When God's trying to do something, we got to make sure we don't quench them. Amen? Because that fire produces light from our life, power, purity. Amen? We can do, we're indwelt by the Spirit, and we can hurt the Spirit, or we can hinder the Spirit, or this, here's a positive. We can help the Spirit. We can help the Spirit. You say, how can you help the Spirit? By being filled with the Spirit. What is being filled? When you're filled with something, get this, you're controlled by it. You know when a person gets filled with anger, what do? They get controlled by it, amen? You and I need to be filled with the Spirit. So we can let him have his way with us. And by the way, Ephesians 5:18 is not just a one-time fill up. We need to keep on being filled. Keep on being filled. By the way, a preacher said one of the reasons we got to keep on being filled is because all of our buckets have holes in them. Ain't that the truth? Amen. We're human beings. Amen. And we really got to constantly be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Because our buckets have holes in them. My prayer for you and I is that we might be more sensitive and more submissive to the Holy Spirit. And I pray that the whole course of today, our hearts would just be challenged. When we're reading and studying the scriptures, let's look and see some more things about the Spirit as we're reading along. Amen? Thank you for your attentiveness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word tonight. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Thank you for him knocking on our doors to save our souls. Thank you for him coming into our lives and changing them as much as we have been changed. And I know the Spirit of God is not totally satisfied with the changes. There's more to go. And there's more work that he wants to do. I pray that we'll not be satisfied with what you've done. But I pray that we'll let you have your way with us. Lord, I do pray that you'll be able to occupy every room of our life. May we be pleasing to you in every way. Bless the preacher, I pray, as he comes to close up this service. And again, thank you for the preacher. I pray for him and his health, that you'll recover him, Lord. Refresh him, give him the strength that he needs. Give grace to move the rest of his house over, Lord. I just pray that you'll just help our brother in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That was a good, solid day of good teaching. The Lord answered my prayer because I was praying that God would just use Matt in a good way today to bless our hearts. And if I was able to be here to bless my own heart, and I have been blessed. Thank you, brother. It's been a good time. Well, let's sing a couple songs before we get out of here, okay? I have my Uncle David here tonight, and he likes the song Until Then. Amen. And you know what? We need to yield to the Holy Spirit until then. And just let him have his way with us, because one of these days we're going to be right there in the glory. Until then, let's let the Spirit of God use us in a great way. Number 129, your chorus book. Number 129, your chorus book. Or 809 in your hymn book, if you want the hymn book, if you need the music. We probably ought to have my uncle sing this as a special number. What do you think? Huh? Yeah. My heart can sing when I pause to remember. A heartache here is but a stepping stone. Along the trail it's winding, always for this troubled world.
And it lasted. Well, for saving sinners like us, and then giving us the Holy Spirit of God to watch over us and teach us, and guide us, illuminate us, assure us, and be the guarantee that we're going to be there with you someday. How we would love to see so many of our relatives, friends, people we know who still are on the outside of all this to come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. So here we go. We're going out from here. It's been good to be together. And now we're going to go out and be a witness to this world. And help us not to be afraid to open up our lips and let the Spirit of God use us to bring honor and glory to your Son by preaching the gospel and seeing people get saved. So help us to do that. Keep us safe as we go away. In Jesus, give our preacher a safety home. Thank you for bringing him to us today. Make him